Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, Lord Jesus, you are the truth incarnate, the teacher of the faithful. Let your Spirit overshadow us in the reading of your word and conform our thoughts to yours, so that learning of you with honest hearts, we may be rooted and built up in you who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen. Please be seated. You have some unneeded cash lying around in the ashtray of your car or in your dorm room or your house. But if you have a couple of hundred thousand extra and you don't know what to do with it, you might look on the internet and look up the Alcor Corporation. That's A-L-C-O-R. Because for a mere $200,000, Alcor will take your body when you die, assuming that you're close enough to their location in California to make this feasible, because they have to have you, you know, your body within an hour or so after you die. But they will take your body and they will fill it with antifreeze. Now, this is not an antifreeze that doesn't freeze. It's an antifreeze that doesn't crystallize when it freezes. And then they will lower the body temperature of your body to about minus 248 degrees Fahrenheit and keep you there indefinitely until such a time as a cure has been found for whatever killed you. But you wouldn't want them to bring you back to life then. You would want them to really to wait until they have found a cure for old age. And then they would bring you back to life, in theory. They don't know if it will work. No, of course, it's never been done. But they'll do that for you, and then you can live again. If you don't have $200,000, don't worry, because you can take out a life insurance policy for $200,000 and designate them as the beneficiary. And then as long as you live within an hour or so of their facility in California, they'll take care of you when you die. Now, if that doesn't appeal to you, you can go a lot cheaper than that. For $35,000, there's a Russian company that will keep just your head. And they'll freeze that for just $35,000. There are several billionaires who've already signed up with Alcor. I know this is nothing new, by the way. This has been going on for a while, since the 1930s. But Alcor is a new company. Not only are they looking into the cryonics, that's what that's called, but they're also researching another facility, and several people have contributed a lot of money to this, and that is to capture your consciousness and embed it into the frame of a robot somehow. And they believe they will have that technology perfected by the year 2040. There's a lot of days I could go for that one. You know, you wake up and you're sore, and all the things that go wrong with your body after you hit about 40 years of age, and I'm way beyond that. And that robot body is sounding a little better every day. But I probably won't make it to 2040, so I don't have to worry about that. But it is amazing to me the lengths to which people will go. There are two reasons people have been signing up that were quoted in this article I was reading about Alcor Corporation. Two reasons people sign up. One is just curiosity. Two main reasons, anyway. One is curiosity, just to... you think this might have a chance of working, some people say. So they sign up and give their $200,000. The other reason is more understandable. It's fear of death. That's the second reason that was quoted, why people are signing up with Alcor Corporation. It is amazing and sad, isn't it? The lengths to which people will go because of the fear of death. Our scripture passage for this morning talks about that fear of death, and I'd like to read it right now. It's found for us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, and it says this: "Inasmuch as the children have been partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Man, this short passage is packed full of information, isn't it? It's packed full, and I'd like to focus on two points that it makes. One is the reason, and the second is the result of the incarnation of Jesus. And first is the reason, and he mentions what the reason is. He says this, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood. Now, who are these children that he's talking about? Well, it's everyone. Everyone's been a child at one point or another. And every time a baby's born into this world, he's flesh and blood, like you and me. We have partaken of this flesh and blood. And so then, inasmuch, he says, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, so then he partook of the same. That is the same flesh and blood. And not only that, but the Bible says that he partook of the flesh that he partook of was the likeness of sinful flesh, indicating that there is a flesh that might not be sinful. Of course, Adam had that before he sinned. But Jesus didn't partake of that perfect flesh. He partook of the kind of flesh you have, the kind that I have, subject to sickness, illness, fatigue, the same flesh that you have. That's what he partook of. It says that Jesus partook of that flesh and blood. And that is the reason he did it, is because we're flesh and blood. But there is another overarching reason that he partook of flesh and blood. And that is because, as I just mentioned, our flesh is sinful. And he wanted to deliver this sinful flesh that you have and that I have. You see, sometimes we get the idea that we're sinners because we sin, in the same way that a boxer is somebody who boxes, right? But sin's different than that. Sin is not characterized by what we do. Rather, what we do is characterized by sin. It's much more like a hideous genetic disease that becomes part of who we are. That's what sin is. And we inherited it from our parents, and them from their parents, and them from their parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And that's sin. And so it infects everything we do. And that's why it's so easy to sin. That's why it's so much easier to want revenge than it is forgiveness for someone. It's why it's so natural to denigrate someone else rather than to speak highly of them. Someone said that even as a Christian, sin infects all that we do. And I'll tell you, as I look at myself, I am inclined to believe that statement. That assessment is true. But that, see, is just the reason that Jesus took upon himself flesh and blood. And then what was the result? Well, let's read it again. That he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So there's a release that happened. Actually, there's more than one release that happened at the cross when Jesus died there upon the cross. And the first is this, that he destroyed him who had the power of death. Of course, that's the devil, it says. Now, this power of death that the devil has is not just the power to go out and kill people, but it was the power he exerted there when he tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, and all their unborn children died when they succumbed to the temptation of Satan. That's the power that Satan has over death. And then once he exercises that, then you know what? Then he becomes the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. Like a prosecuting attorney who prosecute sinners before God, attempting to persuade God to give them the eternal death penalty. Haven't you heard the accusations in your own consciousness, in your own conscience, in the quietness sometimes? Sometimes all it takes is a statement by someone to bring back to your remembrance, doesn't it? That's the way it is with me. Remembrance of something maybe of which I'm ashamed, something I've done in the past, a long time ago sometimes, of which I am ashamed. Well, let me tell you something. Those sins of which you are ashamed, the memories, those things do not exist except in your memory. Because Jesus removed them all. That is the second release that took place upon the cross. He released us from the power of those sins, but he also released us from the punishment of those sins. And he has destroyed the prosecuting attorney who prosecutes your mind over and over again for those things. He's been destroyed. And that was the final result of the incarnation, is that you have been freed from those sins. They do not belong to you any longer. Jesus took them. He's taken them away, and he's removed them as far from you as the east is from the west, the Bible says. So not only are you freed then from the punishment of those sins, but you're freed from the bondage to those sins and the bondage of the guilt of those sins. So that now sin may infect my every action, word, and thought, but it is not my only action, word, and thought anymore. See, we've been set free now, so that we can actually serve the Lord. We can live for him. And in spite of the sin that infects them, we can still have good works in God's eyes because he takes the bad part away. So you don't necessarily need to waste your money on Alcor. You can waste it there if you want, but you don't need to because you've already been given eternal life. You already know of a resurrection that will happen for you. So believe it, won't you? And the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Would you please bow your head with me again? Gracious word, to be the revelation of your great love to mankind. Grant that our study of it may not be made in vain by the callousness or carelessness of our hearts, but that by your word we may be confirmed in penitence, lifted in hope, and made strong for service, and above all, filled with the true knowledge of you and your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.